Inspector Stokes. Case report 7599-Bravo. It's been 2 weeks since the attack on Cobb's farm. There have been no more sightings or disturbances at the settlements. Vantage is happy, and my chief and I are all too eager to close the case. Dr. Kim and her team have completed the required tests on the infected captive. She's scheduled for termination tomorrow. Captivity hasn't had any effect on her behavior. At night she shrieks and throws her body against the walls. It got so bad the staff said they had to restrain her. The only peace is during the afternoon. When daylight shines through the porthole window, she'll stand in the glow. She stays there until dusk. Quiet. I paid her a visit today during the light hours when she was calm. She sat in the middle of the cell and stared straight ahead into nothing. I could see Kim's team had tried to clean her up. Someone had taken the time to braid her hair. They discarded the robes and dressed her in a white gown. It's all anyone could do for her. It was all we could do for the others, too, before the end. It's a troubling matter. I know the infected are dangerous. I know that this woman, or this creature, was part of the group responsible for the attacks on the farms, the killings. But seeing her like this, it's difficult to think of her as something other than human. Yes, her body has taken part in the carnage, but she was a victim as well. There's a person trapped in there somewhere. A young woman who's lost control of her mind to an alien thing. By the time I left, the sun had gone down. The daylight was gone, and she'd begun to scream again.
Dear Hannah, it took several weeks, but things have finally returned to normal here. The hazmat crew from Sutter Station did dispose of the bodies, but Vantage insisted on burning the crops where they'd lain. They have designated a few of these fields as caution zones, and each day they'd send out an agent to check the soil. They wanted to be sure there was no fungal spread. It's a hassle. Last week they finally allowed me back out onto the field, and the agent who came that day said that Vantage was satisfied that there was no pollution. They haven't returned since. But there have been other visitors.
Hey, Hearts. It's been a crazy few days since we returned to Sutter Station. I don't even know where to begin. We didn't speak much on the way. Ava was quiet. She'd kept the recorder we found. I couldn't imagine what she was feeling. All the way back, I wondered what she would do next. She promised to pay me, so I figure I slip back into my usual routine. Drinks at the Cat Cantina during the day, and night, and morning. But when we got back to Sutter, everything changed.
The infected was scheduled for termination today, but, well, I guess you could say things didn't go as expected. Dr. Kim had planned to perform the procedure herself. It's straightforward. A few injections with tranquilizers and finally a lethal dose of sedative. I didn't have any wish to see her die, but I felt like I should be there. You know, see things through to the end. The terminations are done in a sealed room, a quarantined environment. It was the middle of the day, so the subject was calm. She sat on a gurney while the lab staff prepared the tools for the upcoming autopsy. I remember thinking how strange it all was. What a cold, unusual way for things to end. There was no ceremony, no last rites. Dr. Kim administered the first dose of tranquilizers, and the body went limp.
Thank you.
days ago, there came a party to the farm. They came right out of the woods. So, when I saw them, my heart stopped. But they weren't hostile. They hailed a greeting. There were three of them. Two natives and one human. I didn't know what to make of them at first, and natives and humans don't usually travel together, you know. But when they came close, I realized that the human was their captive. The natives asked for food and water. They were going to go back to the forest and leave their captive here. Now, he could go as he liked, but they warned him not to follow them. Well, the man was irritated, but he didn't argue. I gave them what I had. I was honestly just glad that they weren't hostile. Now, when the natives had gone, the man identified himself. He said his name was Shaw. Yeah. He didn't stay long, though. He was going to head back to Sutter Station, but he needed to get his hands on a comlink first. He said he needed to send a message. Whew, he was impatient. A little rude, too. Again, I saw no harm, so I complied. I returned to my chores, and he sent his message privately, and when he was done, he left the comlink and continued on to Sutter Station. It's a strange business, but I don't think it was worth reporting anything to the authorities. To be honest, the less Vantage comes here, the better. I only want things to get back to normal as soon as possible. I'll message soon. Your beloved husband, Abraham.
I thought I knew what would happen next. The lethal sedative. It would stop the heart in minutes. And after that, the team would get to work extracting organs. The hazmat crews would incinerate the rest of the body. I'd make my report and close the case. The governor would assure the colonists of their safety. Vantage would prosper. And when the infection inevitably reappeared, we'd do this all again. But I was wrong. Right then, my comm went off. It startled me. I was so loud. I almost shut it off. I'm glad I didn't. It was a woman, but I didn't recognize the voice. The transmission was coming across an emergency channel, so my first thought was maybe there'd been another attack, or a security breach. But she wasn't agitated. She was speaking calmly. I didn't understand most of what she was saying. It sounded like a list of chemicals, measurements, and instructions. But I understood enough when she declared with absolute certainty, "There is a cure for the infected. There is a cure for the Crimson Frost."
Hughes, this is Shaw. You might have thought I was dead. It's been a long time since my last message. Let me tell you why. Before I do, let me say this. I don't like being deceived, Mr. Hughes. Another man might consider vengeance for being played in the way you played me. But I don't want a part in any more of this. I want nothing more to do with you. I did what you wanted. I found Dr. Wood. The savages we'd met at Ashborough led us to their village. The location was only a two-day hike upriver. It was exactly as Dr. Wood described, huts made of reeds floating on the riverbanks. I can't say for certain if it's still there. Considering its mobility and the incident which took place, I'd say it's unlikely. We were all jumpy, seeing as we were surrounded by these savages. We had the firepower, sure, but they outnumbered us. But they weren't aggressive. They're barely interested. Dr. Wood was in one of the larger huts. We found her attending to two patients lying on cots, a human male and female. She was surprised to see us, and apprehensive. She wanted to know where we came from. When I assured her we were sent by Oasis, that didn't ease our suspicion. I laid it all out for her then. The entire operation. Why we'd come. The cure. I told her we'd heard her messages. We knew about her crusade to rehabilitate the Ashbrook colonists. That day in the meadow. And when I did, she laughed at that. Laughed right in my face. That day in the meadow, she said the cure didn't work. Not the first time she tried it. The infected had turned on her. She'd barely gotten out of there alive. But I didn't dissuade her. No, she made modifications and returned. But it didn't work the second time neither, nor the third. She persisted. She kept adjusting, kept going back to the meadow multiple times with different formulas, attempting different methods. She'd been doing so for years. And finally, only recently, she found the answer. She told us she'd rehabilitated the first Ashbrook colonists only 48 days ago. It was the man and woman lying asleep on the cots. They were both in comas, but you could see the fungus had receded and their skin was clear. There were no growths, no rashes. Each of them was breathing normal, steady breaths. I told her Oasis needed the cure, that I needed to transmit it immediately. She agreed. She documented everything. And that's when things turned sideways. But you could probably already guess what happened. Your men, my team, suddenly had their weapons out. I had a split second to realise how stupid I was before the violence started. Of course, Oasis wanted to make sure that they, and only they, had knowledge of the cure. You didn't only need the cure, you needed to make sure Dr. Wood didn't give it to anyone else. Well, your plan didn't work, Hughes. Your men are all dead. The savages made quick work of that. I'm lucky to be alive myself. It took a fair amount of convincing for them to spare me. To be honest, they probably wouldn't have had Wood not intervened. So they let me go, on one condition. It was Dr. Wood's condition. She wanted my comlink, so I suspect you'll be hearing from her very soon.
Remember when I asked you if you believed in fate? I think I might. The authorities killed a band of prowlers. The remains of the infected Nock colonists near one of the farms. And they had managed to capture one of them alive. Only one. The one they captured was a young woman in black robes. It was Marie. And she's in the infirmary now. Still infected by the frost, but they're saying she's getting better. Now this is the crazy part. The doctors here think they can reverse the infection and heal her entirely using new methods. It would be a first, but they seem confident. If nothing else, it's something to believe in. Either way, Ava is just happy to see her sister again. She hasn't left her side since.
Hello, Mr. Hughes. This is Dr. Wood. First of all, let me apologise for the deaths of your men. I realise their intention, your intention, was to kill me. But even so, I regret what happened. It was not on my order, nor was it my preference. My friends here have grown fond of me, and they regard me as one of their own, one of the tribe. As you must know, threats against the tribe are dealt with in the most severe manner. I managed to spare one of your men. I've sent him back to you. But I'm afraid I didn't give him the cure to the Crimson Frost. I understand that's what all of this was about. Oasis intends to seize control of the cure, so you can profit from the spreading infections on Earth. I'm sorry to hear this, but I can't say it's unexpected. I came to Kailus over 15 years ago. At that time, Oasis was recruiting volunteers in certain specialties to join their second colonization mission. As a biologist, the chance to study a new world was compelling, but I'm not certain I would have come had my partner Amy not convinced me. She worked in robotics, another useful skill set for Oasis, so we were easily fast-tracked for the fourth shuttle wave. Amy never set foot on Kailus, Mr. Hughes. She died during transit. Her hibernation pod malfunctioned. A malfunction I would later learn was caused by a virus planted by your corporate rival. As I'm sure you're well aware, that virus crippled the colony's equipment and eventually allowed your competitors to gain an upper hand. While executives squabbled about profits and losses, the new Oasis colony was overrun with bad equipment and the biological threat of the frost. For the record, I did return to the Nok. Long before I succeeded in saving the Ashboro infected, I went back to help my friends. Unfortunately, I was too late. Everyone was either dead or gone. Oasis wasn't so concerned about the cure then, I think. But now, with the new corporation colonizing, there's another board of investors hungry to find profit. And of course, Oasis is anxious to compete. The never-ending rivalry. The same rivalry that killed my love, Amy, continues today. It's a competition I refuse to take part in, and one I cannot help perpetuate. You'll notice this message hasn't been encrypted. I'm broadcasting across all channels, which is how I broadcasted the cure to the frost. This knowledge won't be used for a gain of corporations. All people and nations will have access. I know that alone won't end this rivalry, this attempt to claim Kailus. But I would caution you, and ask you to consider this. This world is different. It's not Earth. It's a new world, and it offers us opportunity, you and I. If we're to inhabit, build, and thrive here, we should look to renew ourselves as well. We should leave behind our worst natures, the things that make us Earthlings. We should evolve. Take care, Mr. Hughes. Please consider this my official resignation from Oasis. Dr. Wood, out.
Dear Marie, only a few days ago I thought you were dead. I was sure I'd never see you again, never get to apologize. But this is a second chance. The doctors say you're recovering. They don't know when you'll wake from this coma, but I intend to be there when you do. I'm not leaving you. I'll be here when you're ready. But even so, I wanted to record this message, because to be honest, I don't want to wait any longer, and it needs to be said. When you left, I was so mad at you. We'd always been together. You were my best friend, and I couldn't believe you could leave me by myself. It's taken me a long time to realize I wasn't so much angry as I was jealous. I envied how bold you were. You had found something you believed in, and were so fearless in your pursuit of it. I couldn't see any of that, and it made me bitter. So bitter, I never once responded to you. So, I'm recording this message to you now, and I want you to keep it always. I want you to know I'm sorry. I am sorry it took so long. And I can't wait for you to open your eyes again, sweetheart. Your sister always. Ava.
Fate, maybe. Or luck. Morello's fate can go to hell. Whatever the reason, it makes for a hell of a story. A cult follower turns on murderous leader, succumbs to deadly alien infection that turns her into a zombie, but survives and reunites with long-lost sister. It'd be a pretty good episode if we decided to reboot this show. Or maybe not. Maybe I'll write a book about all this instead. Something that pulls all these crazy stories together. The new Oasis colony, Annabelle, Ashborough, Moreau and the Children of the Stars. What do you think, Art? Could be a bestseller. Let me know. I'll be here, waiting for your response.
The Oasis Transmissions is an Ellipsis production, written and produced by John Rolfe. The parts of Caldwell, Hughes, and Shaw were voiced by Alex Eller. Dr. Wood by Chelsea Krause. The parts of Whitlock and Cobb by Joe Shelton. Foster by Chromatic. Tyler Lincoln by Jejate Renari. Marie by Ella Moran. Captain Beckett by Chris Steinberger. Lieutenant Cash by Gervais Weeks. Annabelle by Delaney Gilmore. Tilly by Liat Kovnator. Ava by Clarice Lafayette. And Inspector Stokes by Chris Rossing. The theme music is Menacing Malice by Emmett Cook. Special thanks to Simplecast and our fans. For more information about the show or to hear about future projects, follow us on Twitter at The Oasis Podcast or on Instagram at Oasis Transmitting. Thank you for listening.